Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
This podcast is presented by David Lowe & Associates in Fort Lauderdale. If you've had a homeowner's insurance claim denied or underpaid, call 844-96-CLAIM. This podcast was presented by David Lowe & Associates in Fort Lauderdale. If you've had a homeowner's insurance claim denied or underpaid, call 844-96-CLAIM. Live from the Edmore Sawgrass Cadillac Studios, Morse has more. Visit EdmoreSawgrass.com. This is the Alex Dono Show on Miami Sports Radio 560 WQAM, 96.5 FM HD2, and online at WQAM.com.
Yes! Oh, it is. It is! The Alex Dono Show, a brief but jam-packed edition here on Miami Sports Radio 560 WQAM. We are streaming, friends, all over the internet, WQAM.com, or on your smartphone, the radio.com app, TuneIn Radio app, however you listen. We appreciate your patronage here tonight, and we get you ready for Canes basketball this evening. 6:30 will be our pregame time. Joe Zagacki will, of course, join me for that, as the 11th-ranked Hurricanes will host Florida A&M at the Watsco Center, and we have plenty of Canes football to talk about as well. If you'd like to get in, share your infinite wisdom with us via the phone lines. I hope you're all wearing turnover chains and nothing else when you're sitting in your cars, or, well, not in the car because you're in public. Technically, I think you're breaking the law. But if you're at home in the privacy of your own home, wear the turnover chain and nothing else while you listen to this show. And call me at 305-567-0560, 954-567-0560, pound 560 on your cell, or you can always text us on the plumbers911.com text line. But please don't text and drive. You can get us there at 56022. If you had any doubt that Malik Rozier is a gamer, you know, the story that has come out this week, and of course this is very unfortunate, but I'm glad to hear that his father is doing very well and recovering very well. But Malik Rozier's father, we've come to find out, had suffered a stroke days before Miami took on Notre Dame. So he had to, not only during the game week last week, have to think about the biggest game in his college career, a game where he's trying to keep his team undefeated and in the hunt for the college football playoff. And, you know, up until an hour before kickoff, you didn't even know for sure if you'd secured the Coastal by that time. So to be thinking about the biggest sports week of your life as the starting quarterback of a major university, to also have to wrestle with the emotions of your father, who is... I don't know how many miles away Tallahassee is, 800, 700 miles, but his father in Tallahassee had suffered a stroke, and you had to wrestle that in your mind among the emotions of having to play in a gigantic football game. And then Malik Rozier came out and played dynamite. So, of course, pray for his family, pray for his father's health. Everything I've heard and read today says that Eli Rozier, his dad, has already regained about 85% of the feeling in his body that he lost, because apparently, like, the whole left side of his body just stopped responding. And they actually realized he had a problem when folks, friends and family of his had seen him, the father, on television in attendance at the Miami Virginia Tech game. They got a look at him, realized he didn't look right. And then a couple days later, he collapsed at work and realized he had had a stroke. And his son, Malik Rozier, had to wrestle with those emotions all throughout the week. But I will say this, doesn't surprise me in the slightest to see Malik having played so well despite the emotions. I mean, this is clearly a player who is able to separate adversity from what's happening on the field. He's great at compartmentalizing stuff is the word that I'm looking for. He waited for his turn behind Brad Kaya for 3 years, got the starting quarterback job a few months ago when the vast majority of Miami Hurricanes fans, including myself, wanted that starting job to go to a true freshman and not to Malik. Instead, after, you know, throwing his third interception against Virginia Tech, looked as though he wasn't the slightest bit shaken from that. Now, you need more proof, maybe, that Malik Rozier is a gamer. He is recorded. It's the stat I was looking at today. And, of course, you've seen some big fourth quarter plays and fourth quarter comebacks from the kid. You know, the Florida State game, the Georgia Tech game. Clutch. Very, very clutch player. He has his highest passer rating of the season comes in the fourth quarter at 155. Played his best football at crunch time when the games are most important. When he's needed most, he's played his best football in the fourth quarter this year, posting his highest passer rating of 155 in the fourth quarter compared to the other three quarters. And he had to deal with this past week. So I'm sure he's gotten some very good news over the last couple of days, knowing his father is doing much better. And you got to hand it to his dad. Even made a joke to Malik after the Notre Dame game. He said, "I'm glad that game wasn't so close because you could have given me another stroke," is actually what he told Malik. He shared that report today. So it's good to hear that he's in good enough health and good enough spirits that he can actually make jokes like that after suffering a medical emergency. But that's where we're at with Hurricanes football, where Malik Rozier has now become a media darling to the point where he's overcome a lot this season, and he's put up his best moments in games when they matter the most. 305-567-0560, 954-567-0560 is how you reach us. 56022 on the plumbers911.com text line, but please don't text and drive. You know, I went on a little bit of a Twitter tirade on Tuesday night when the updated college football playoff rankings were released. You know, it's frustrating to see that they only give Miami a very small modicum of respect, that they would rank a one-loss Clemson team who actually lost to a team that Miami beat, talking about Syracuse, one spot ahead of Miami in that table. I was legitimately steamed about that. I was upset. I did a little trolling on Twitter after that happened, to the point where I did a spot on a Virginia radio station yesterday, you know, talking about Miami and the Virginia Cavaliers this weekend, noon. So don't let that be a trap game, because I'm sure you could be due for an emotional letdown after what you did to Notre Dame and what you did to Virginia Tech the week prior. I know this team still has plenty to play for, because with the lack of respect they're getting, they probably have to stay undefeated to make the college football playoff. If you lose a trap game to Virginia this week or at Pittsburgh next week and still beat Clemson, you're probably not getting in at that point. So I was legitimately steamed by that. And they were asking me about that in this Norfolk radio station yesterday. They maybe took my tweets a little bit more seriously than they were meant. So I will say this. Well, yeah, I was legitimately peeved or steamed about being ranked a spot behind Clemson in the top four. But I am well aware, as everyone in the 305 and the 954 and the 561 and the 786 and the 754 should be, I am very aware of the fact that these problems will play themselves out. You've still got a head-to-head with Clemson. You take care of your business on the field. You control your own destiny. You stay undefeated, which includes not suffering what would be a catastrophic loss at home to Virginia this week, or a catastrophic loss on the road and a not very good Pittsburgh team the following week. You take care of your business. You play Clemson December 2nd. That's a game you can win, absolutely. You win all three of these games in an ACC championship, and we're not having this conversation in 3 weeks about being disrespected and discounted, because if you take care of business, you control your own destiny, you're in the college football playoff. So it's why I was steamed when I saw the rankings, but I'm not really outraged by it, because this is a problem that's going to solve itself in the head-to-head. You have a chance to make another statement. Like, I can't believe we're still in position where, after having shellacked Virginia Tech and then shellacking Notre Dame, you're still in a position where you need to make more statements to make people take you seriously. But that's fine. I think this team is capable of doing that. And, you know, if nothing else, what I'm talking about right now, that third ranking, being a spot behind Clemson, still having people that doubt your ability to win the ACC, this is stuff the coaching staff can use. I think this is stuff they want, right? It's like Nick Saban would say that, oh, being number one, it's like rat poison for these guys. You don't have any of that rat poison right now, being number three and being behind a team that's lost a game when you haven't. If Mark Richt wants to keep using bulletin board material and you know, you need to get an edge because people out there don't believe in you, he can keep using that stuff because you're a spot behind Clemson. You know, Richt had talked earlier this week about motivating his team for the Notre Dame game by showing them video clips of all the national analysts picking against Miami, picking Notre Dame, and explaining why they were picking Notre Dame. And in his words, it got everybody's blood boiling a little bit. You're going to be hard-pressed to find video that good this week, but you can still find some stuff because I was watching SportsCenter yesterday, early afternoon, and they bring on that clown, Paul Feinbaum, for a live hit, and he's already picking Clemson over Miami in the ACC championship game. Like, why are you even picking that game now, Paul? I mean, both teams have to play and win. Well, they don't have to win. They've locked up their spots. But both teams have to play two more games before they meet in the ACC championship game. You're already picking Clemson 2 days after you put on the turnover chain. I wish that video was erased forever. You don't have the right to put on the turnover chain and then 2 days later put the knife in the back of every Hurricanes fan that you tried to appease 2 days prior. It's ridiculous. Getting myself worked up again. Oh, let's go to Gordon. You're on WQAM. What's up, Gordo?
Who cares about Paul Feinbaum? I mean, you know, I mean, he's like the new Beano Cook. Forget him.
Well, okay. If I take your word, Gordon, I wouldn't care about anything because you're always telling me who cares about this and that. Who cares how the team is doing? It's my job to care about this stuff.
I know, but I mean, listen. If you told me the difference between 2 and 3 was because is that 2's going to get the home game, that's fine. All we got to do is just keep winning. Who cares if it's 2 versus 3? We'll be in the number 2 spot or the number 1 spot if we win the rest of our games anyway.
Well, here's where it could bite you in the ass, though. Unlike a lot of teams out there, Clemson included, because they have one loss, I don't think Miami can get into the college football playoff with one loss, where Clemson
can't.
So that's where it's going to hurt you.
That's right, because their loss is going to be too late in the season,
right.
And that's what always hurts in college football. Real quickly, I know I'm going way off topic here, but after last night's game, boy, I'll tell you something.
Talking about the Heat now?
Yeah, that's just there's something really wrong, and it's a good thing that we have these. What happened to James Johnson?
Turnover machine.
To him?
He's wearing
that
the turnover chain.
That guy was like Lamar Odom light. You know what I mean? And now he's like he looks like Billy Owens out there. He can't do anything. No, seriously. What happened to him? Can someone tell them to stop shooting all these three-pointers? The only guy who should have the green light to shoot is Dragic when he wants to shoot it,
right,
and Wayne Ellington. But I am tired of these fast breaks on three-on-ones, and they're throwing it to Tyler Johnson in the corner. Tyler Johnson is not a three-point shooter. He has to go to the basket, and that's it. Stop shooting three-pointers. Stop.
I'm with you, Gordo. Have a good night, my friend. I think maybe the problem with James Johnson is maybe last year was fool's gold. This guy was 30 last year, had never strung together a consistent season. Yeah, I know it's very easy and rightfully so to praise, oh, it's the culture, it's Spoelstra. Finally, James Johnson gets in with the right system and the right coach and the right environment. He's going to be great for the next 5 years. No, you take a player who's struggled with consistency issues for 6 years in the NBA, and you expect him all of a sudden at 30 to become a different player, that could be the problem. You know, it may not be anything he's doing wrong this year. It may be a bigger problem with James Johnson. Maybe he's not the player we thought he was. Oh, man, I want to talk about a place that always brings the goods, the Quarterdeck Seafood Bar and Neighborhood Grill. They always fulfill your expectations. The Quarterdeck is such a great spot to watch the big game, to watch the big fight. They've got every UFC pay-per-view fight for zero cover charge, mind you, at the Quarterdeck. No cover to watch every UFC pay-per-view. You know, our guy Frank Zaffrey from the Quarterdeck, he's a huge UFC fan. He's also a big college football fan. His Notre Dame Fighting Irish lost to my Hurricanes, so he's very upset about that. But anytime you've got big games of that magnitude, you can watch them at the Quarterdeck Seafood Bar and Neighborhood Grill. And while you're watching the game, enjoy the delicious food. I love the world-class sushi. Oh, the shrimp. The buffalo shrimp is my favorite appetizer. The oysters and Maine lobster, meat falls off the bone, baby back ribs, sandwiches and burgers, build your own burger with tons of fresh toppings. So many great options at the Quarterdeck, but whatever you do, save a little room for dessert because the key lime cheesecake, that is the perfect way to finish every meal. And you wash all of that down with a 2-for-1 happy hour all day, every day. It never ends. They have a spirit master at the Quarterdeck concocting all the great craft cocktails. I love the 2-for-1 margaritas at the Quarterdeck. If you like what you're hearing, you want to find the location nearest to you, visit them on the web at quarterdeckrestaurants.com and find the location nearest to you, because the Quarterdeck is where you come for the food and stay for the fun.
This podcast is presented by David Lowen Associates in Fort Lauderdale. If you've had a homeowner's insurance claim denied or underpaid, call 844-96-CLAIM. This podcast was presented by David Lowen Associates in Fort Lauderdale. If you've had a homeowner's insurance claim denied or underpaid, call 844-96-CLAIM. Or visit EdmoreSawgrass.com. This is the Alex Dono Show on Miami Sports Radio 560 WQAM, 96.5 FM HD2, and online at WQAM.com.
Yes! Oh, it is. It is. The Alex Dono Show here on Miami Sports Radio 560 WQAM. Streaming on the internet, WQAM.com, or on your smartphone, the TuneIn Radio app, radio.com app. However you listen, we appreciate your patronage here tonight. Don't forget, Florida Panthers and San Jose Sharks on this radio station. Pregame coming up in 50 minutes with Kevin Rogers and Doug Plagans, of course, the voice of the Cat. You know, at some point, when the Panthers are back home, we have a little time. Doug and I are competing head-to-head in the One Chip Challenge. I've been practicing the last couple of weeks. I haven't gotten my hands on the actual Carolina Reaper chip, the hottest chip on the planet, allegedly. But I have been eating some ghost pepper chips to practice a little bit, so I can't wait for that. Hurricanes football this weekend. You know, obviously, it's not the same sort of buildup that you would get before Notre Dame when you have number 7 versus number 3. It's not the same as when Miami faced Virginia Tech with, you know, the Coastal Division on the line, undefeated hopes on the line against the 13th-ranked team of the country at the time. Virginia is not great. They're not very good. But with the Hurricanes being undefeated, the Hurricanes controlling their own destiny for a college football playoff spot. This is a huge game this week. Huge game. And I'm so relieved by the fact that South Florida seems to get that it's a huge game, because listen, I have been to more noon games than I can count over the years. Noon games at the Orange Bowl when they used to play there before bureaucrats knocked that building down. Noon games at Hard Rock Stadium or Sun Life or Pro Player or Joe Robbie, whatever. And noon games historically don't get great crowds. Late arriving, sleepy crowds, a lot of empty seats. Noon games are usually death in South Florida because people go out partying on Friday night. They go out to the nightclubs. I think I've been to a nightclub twice in my life, but I'm not the usual person here. They go out to the nightclubs till 4 a.m. They don't want to wake up for a noon game. However, with the stakes being so high for Miami, so much to play for, and not to mention the fun everyone's been having all season long, the turnover chain, the touchdowns, this has been the most fun season of Miami football since, I believe, 2002. I believe you have to go back to the last season where they played for a national championship, should have won it that year. You have to go back to 2002. That was the last time we were having this much fun supporting Miami Hurricanes football. And obviously the undefeated record, the big victories, you beat Florida State for the first time in 8 years. I don't care how bad Florida State is. That's a big deal, especially to get that W on the road. Turnover chain, the night games, the atmosphere, being in the college football playoff picture, because the last time you were good, college football playoff didn't exist. So to be in that playoff picture now, it just adds to the aura of that. And they only have a few hundred tickets left to sell for this weekend. That, it's phenomenal, right? Because I mentioned it earlier tonight, doing a spot on Virginia radio yesterday, and they're pretty nice guys. They weren't like trolling me or giving me that hard of a time. But that was the second time this week I've been asked this question. And this, it always comes from, you know, people who follow college football, but they're not from South Florida, so they're kind of a little bit unclear on the way things go down here. But people who follow this team kind of from afar, it's so amazing to me how the narrative has changed so much for home games in South Florida, where all of a sudden, because you remember, for years, people mock us. Empty seat blogs. Oh, look at all those empty seats at Hard Rock Stadium. Anytime you play close to Halloween, the dumbest joke in the world. Look at all those people dressed up like empty seats at Hard Rock Stadium. Like, that used to be a running joke. There was no home field advantage down here. But for 2 weeks, Hard Rock Stadium has been the loudest stadium in college football. I have gotten the question twice this week from college football people who, you know, aren't Canes fans or not South Floridians, who have asked me, well, Dono, do you think the Hurricanes can win big games, though, if you take them out of that home field environment? Like, you take them out of Hard Rock Stadium, do they have a chance against the likes of Clemson or Oklahoma or Alabama? What happens when you take them out of that great home field environment? I feel like I'm living in a parallel dimension where that's become the narrative, where for decades, people rip this city, this area, this fan base for not showing up to any games. You know, it happened when the Heat had the big three. It's happened to Dolphins. Well, actually, the Dolphins have always been pretty, pretty solid in attendance for the most part, right? If it's like a really meaningless game between two terrible teams, a lot of empty seats. But the Dolphins do a pretty decent job over the years attendance-wise. But you get this a lot with Hurricane Sports, Miami Heat, Miami Marlins, obviously the empty seat mockery. And so I'm now living in a parallel dimension where there are people, and I think the College Football Playoff Committee is very much included in this, trying to downgrade the big victories the Hurricanes have gotten, writing it off to, well, who could beat Miami in an atmosphere like that? Oh, Hard Rock Stadium, best home field environment I've ever seen. What happens when you take Miami outside of Hard Rock Stadium and you put them in Bank of America Stadium in Charlotte? What happens when they have to play against Clemson in a neutral site when you take them away from the loudest fans in America? It's so strange how what has always been like the biggest perceived weakness of the South Florida sports scene, our fans allegedly not showing up and not supporting their teams, where all of a sudden people are using the opposite effect. So many people showing up, so many people being loud and crazy and raucous. You're trying to take accomplishments away from a South Florida team because they've got such a great home field environment. I cannot wait to kick Clemson's ass in a neutral site to shut those people up. Every week it's something. They either think Miami's a fraud or Miami's overrated, or they beat Notre Dame, so then Notre Dame must be a fraud. Because, oh, you don't lose a game 41-8 if you're not a fraud. You know, Miami, they look fast because Notre Dame is so slow. Notre Dame didn't look that slow against Michigan State or USC. Didn't look that slow when they lost to Georgia by 1 point. Now, Georgia got steamrolled last week, but Georgia is still a very damn good football team. But now, all of a sudden, Miami runs circles around Notre Dame. So instead of coming out and saying, gosh, Miami's really fast, they come out and say, wow, never seen a slower team than Notre Dame. People just don't want to give this team credit for whatever reason. I have to give somebody credit that I don't think I've ever given credit to before. I already teased this on Twitter, and the reactions were pure shock. I think I've been blocked by a couple of people already. Tito, I actually agree with Nick Saban on something. Never thought I'd say this. Never thought I'd say this. Like, this guy, he likes to vacation where they filmed the movie Deliverance. I like to vacation in, like, first world places. You know, he is a curmudgeon. He is grumpy. I am very friendly, if you've not noticed. Nick Saban is the bane of my existence. And, you know, he did my Dolphins high and dry. I'm not going to be the Alabama coach. Nonsense. You are the Alabama coach. But I do agree with Nick Saban's take on pants, believe it or not. Now, before you listen to this audio, keep something in mind. I'm not saying I find Nick Saban funny. I'm not saying I find his delivery to be very good. Like, he's angling for a spot this weekend at the Tuscaloosa Improv. The delivery is not good from Saban. The comedy routine, the way he executed this, not very good. But I've got to say, I agree with Nick Saban's take on pants. Listen to this.
I guess I just wanted to know how we got here. Not to offend anybody out there, but I just walked by some jeans, wore out jeans, holes in them. Oh. All cut up. I just remember when I was a kid in West Virginia, I was ashamed to go to school because my jeans were wore out.
Preach, coach.
Only because We didn't have any better. Now they buy them that way. I just can't figure out how did we get here.
What are you laughing at?
I don't know.
See, not very funny what he was doing. Like, he was trying to do like a Clyde Christensen type comedy routine. Not very funny, but very true. I stand with Saban on that. I give people a lot of respect when they have legitimately worn out jeans, right? If you earn it, if you've had the same pair of Brett Favre Wranglers for the last 20 years, you actually do real man stuff, plant trees, dig holes. I obviously have no idea what real men do. If those are my examples, I plant trees and I dig holes. I'm a man, damn it. If you do real man things, you wear out your jeans over time. That's a badge of honor. I'm a big baseball cap guy because I'm bald, so you have to do something to look cool. And, you know, when you have, like, a hat that's been around for a long time, it legitimately gets worn out. It becomes kind of a cool vintage hat. That's awesome. You know what's not awesome? Going to Abercrombie. Do they still have Abercrombie stores? Just bear with me for the example. You go to Abercrombie, you buy a brand new $45 cap that's pre-worn in to look vintage. That's not cool. That's lame. And then at that same Abercrombie store, while you're in there, you buy a pair of $120 jeans that have holes in them. There's nothing cool about that. I stand with Coach on that. How we have reached this point where wearing tattered jeans that you just bought yesterday for $120 is cool, I don't understand that. I don't understand that one bit. Yeah, I can remember back in my day, you know, middle school, mid to late 90s, it became really cool for a couple of years to wear like super baggy jeans, Jenkos, if you remember those. See, that was awesome because those were comfortable. You could lounge in those. You could run in those. You could do anything in Jenkos because they were so bad. There was no restriction whatsoever. And then at some point, people started wearing super tight jeans, skinny jeans. I can't pull off the skinny jeans. I at least like where we're at now where they've got the stretchy jeans because those give you a little bit of freedom. But I'm with Saban on that. I disagree with Nick Saban on 99.99999% of everything that he says. But I do agree with Saban on pants. We found common ground, Saban and I. Ooh, how about this? Texter writes in at 56022 on the plumbers911.com text line. Alex, I've been trying to get to meet you at Hard Rock Stadium all year so we can exchange a hurricane salute from Haitian Max. I've been there, dude. I know that sometimes, like, when we're on the air, it's hard. Like, I can't really, like, shake hands. But if you wait till a commercial break, come up and give me the cane salute, I would be more than happy, my friend. More than happy. I did the one-chip challenge, Texter writes, a few weeks ago. It's brutal. It hurts when you breathe. Oh, great. That's what I have to look forward to. Dono, both Irish left tackle, and he doesn't mean, like, Irish people. He means Notre Dame players. Although, that one left tackle, McGlinchey, he might actually be Irish. But, Dono, both Irish left tackle and left guard semifinalists for Outland Trophy. Were nominations made before November 11th? No, I think the nominations were made after, but I don't think they're holding one ass-whipping against those guys. Like, I don't think that they were thinking November 10th, oh, we really love McGlinchey and the other kid, so we're going to nominate them for the Outland Trophy. And then one ass-kicking made them say, you know what, maybe not so much. I think that they still held up there. Mark Richt, a semifinalist for Coach of the Year, I think he deserves that. And I also think that Manny Diaz, who's a finalist for the Broyles Award for the second straight year for Best Assistant Coach, I think he deserves that as well. I mean, it's hard to argue against it, right? When you consider just how much Miami has overachieved to this point, like, how can you argue that Mark Richt isn't doing an elite job as a head coach, or that Manny Diaz, who probably has an even better claim for the Broyles Award, like, how can you refute that he is doing an unbelievable job as the top assistant coach? He created the turnover chain. If you don't vote for Manny Diaz for the Broyles Award, you clearly have a problem with the turnover chain, and therefore I have a problem with you. But you cannot say that both of them, Mark Richt, top head coach, Manny Diaz, top assistant coach, that they haven't earned that. Where, you know, even if most people were expecting Miami to be better this year than they were last year and the year prior and all that, because you're building things. Mark Richt is clearly building and recruiting. You ended the year last year on a 5-game winning streak. That's momentum. So people expected Miami to be at least a little bit better than they were last year. But you also had the X factor of a new quarterback. You know, Brad Kaya, say what you want to say. Good pocket passer, very good college quarterback. I'm more of a Malik Rozier guy because he does so many other things. But 3 months ago, I was not a Malik Rozier guy. When he got named the starter, I didn't know how to feel about that. Like, I honestly thought when Malik Rozier in August was named starting quarterback of my university, I thought that was more about what Nikosi Perry wasn't doing than what Malik Rozier was doing. I thought that was more of the safe pick. Hey, the dynamic true freshman, he's just not ready. We're going to go with the junior who's been here and has been the backup. This is going to be the safe route. Like, I thought you were settling for Malik Rozier as your starting quarterback. He has had me eating crow 9 games in a row, and I love it. I love being wrong about that. He's more of a leader than I expected. Better arm than I thought. I mean, his completion percentage is not stellar, but he is a gamer. He's getting the job done through the air, and he is absolutely getting the job done on the ground. 16-yard touchdown he scored against Notre Dame was unbelievable, and the canopy blew off of Hard Rock Stadium when he crossed the plane to the end zone. So he's had me eating crow for 9 consecutive games. But with Miami having the uncertainty coming in at starting quarterback, you know, a lot of people thought, hey, this team's going to be a little bit better than they were last year, potentially, because they got a little bit more depth. But Miami is a year at least ahead of schedule. Never in my wildest dreams. And I'm a Canes fan. I'm biased. Yet never in my wildest dreams did I think I'd be looking at 9-0, ranked number 3 in the college football playoff. Really should be ranked number 2, because what are we doing with this Clemson thing? Really? Like, so they've just decided, the committee, you know, we kind of feel like if Miami played Clemson tomorrow, that Clemson would win. So let's disregard the fact that they've got one loss and Miami beat the team that they lost and Miami's undefeated. Yeah, we like Clemson at that number 2 spot. Like, they completely threw logic out the window with that, but it's fine. You're going to get a chance to right that wrong on the field. You can earn it in Charlotte December 2nd. But nobody thought Miami would be in this spot. You thought they'd win the Coastal. Did you think they'd win the Coastal like this? And did you think they'd be in the top 4 9 games into the season? You were taking crazy pills if you thought the Canes would be at this point right now. Even if you're a fan, this is superb optimism to think they'd be at this point. So with that said, like, how can you not love Mark Richt for Coach of the Year and Manny Diaz, whose defense has forced 24 turnovers, 9 tackles for loss per game? I mean, these guys are stuffing every quarterback that plays Miami is like borderline crippled the next day. Like, you can't get out of bed the next day with what this Canes defense is. Toolbox Trent Harris is like Freddy Krueger. He's circulating through the nightmares of every quarterback that Miami has faced. Oh, Josh Jackson, he has nightmares about Trent Harris. That quarterback from Syracuse, Eric Dungy, like, he's probably never going to walk right again after what Miami did to him behind the line of scrimmage. Manny Diaz absolutely deserves Assistant Coach of the Year. Oh, Kevin Rogers is in the house. K-Rodge going to be working this Panthers broadcast here tonight. Hope you drank that coffee, K-Rodge. Cats in San Jose this evening. The Alex Dono Show continues next here on WQAM.
This podcast is presented by David Lowen Associates in Fort Lauderdale. If you've had a homeowner's insurance claim denied or underpaid, call 844-96-CLAIM. This podcast was presented by David Lowen Associates in Fort Lauderdale. If you've had a homeowner's insurance claim denied or underpaid, call 844-96-CLAIM. Morse is your only Cadillac dealer of the year in Broward and Dade County. This is the Alex Dono Show on South Florida's sports leader, 25 years and counting. Miami Sports Radio, WQAM.
You know, a lot of people texting in that Malik Rozier, best surprise the Hurricanes have had this season. I mean, it's hard to disagree with that. I thought the guy was a placeholder. Like, I thought it, when he was named the starter, I thought, okay, this is going to be the guy who's going to bridge the gap between Kaya and Nikosi Perry, and he may not even make it through the whole season before Nikosi takes over. Instead, Malik Rozier has been a revelation. And, you know, I talked about this a little bit at 6 o'clock when I was on before the basketball game. I understand, though, that a lot of you probably weren't listening at 6 o'clock. If you're listening now, if you haven't heard yet today, story came out from ABC News that, okay, not only did Malik Rozier play an excellent game against Notre Dame in the biggest game of his college career by far, biggest game in a decade and a half for Miami Hurricanes football, not only did he play dynamite in that game, was playing a few days after finding out that his father had a stroke. Thankfully, by the way, his father is recovering nicely. His father, Eli Rozier, said he's already regained about 85% of the feeling in the left side of his body that he lost when he had the stroke early last week. But that, I think Rozier found about it, Malik did, on Monday or Tuesday, had to play the game of his life on Saturday. And I understand the show must go on. Thankfully, his father is still alive and kicking and all that. But, you know, to think about the week leading up to the game of your life, one of the biggest games in the in the recent history of your university, because obviously Miami's played in a ton of big games generations ago. Biggest game in a long time for your university, one of the biggest games you will ever play in as a collegian. You're not only having to juggle the hype, the preparation, the buildup, the practice schedule, but you're also thinking about your family. That's not an easy thing to compartmentalize. And I think compartmentalizing things is what Malik Rozier does best. Throws three interceptions, doesn't look fazed by it against Virginia Tech. You know, has to sit behind Brad Kaya for 3 years, not fazed by that. He gets named the starter when nobody thinks he should be the starter, not fazed by that one bit. So it doesn't surprise me that he can compartmentalize, you know, a family health crisis and still go out and play the game of his life. And of course, the good ending to that story, well, hopefully the good ending of that story is his father is doing very well in recovering. Because he is a guy who comes to a lot of games and supports his son. So our thoughts and prayers go out to his family. But to play that well, having to think about for most of the week your father being ill and his health being in jeopardy, to go out there and play the way that Malik did is sensational. And, you know, it shouldn't surprise you to know that Malik Rozier, his highest quarterback rating of 155 comes in the fourth quarter of games. So he has statistically been at his best in the fourth quarter. Now, game was already decided in the fourth quarter this past week, but that was not as much the case against Virginia Tech. Still had to close that one out. Certainly wasn't the case against North Carolina and against Syracuse and against Georgia Tech and against Florida State, especially Florida State and Georgia Tech, where he led those amazing game-winning drives in the fourth quarter. To play your best football and to have your highest passer rating in the fourth quarter of games is another piece of evidence on how Malik Rozier is a gamer. This is a guy who gets it done late with ice in his veins. Somebody has to remind me, of course, that the Italian national soccer team will not be in the World Cup. Like, I never thought when a couple weeks ago when the United States was humiliated by Trinidad and Tobago, not just Trinidad, Trinidad and Tobago, both of them humiliated you that night. Maybe it's not fair to have two countries playing on one team. How about that? But Trinidad and Tobago humiliated the United States a couple weeks ago when they didn't qualify for the World Cup. The only way that I could comfort myself was to say that I talk to myself all the time. The only way I could comfort myself was to tell me, well, Alex, at least you still have the Azzurri. At least Italy is going to be in the World Cup, because there's no way they choke against Sweden. There's no way the Swedes are going to knock the Italians out in a playoff. You got this. Swedish fish, IKEA, no problem. Going to kick these guys' asses. Instead, Italy gets bounced as well. I'm a man without a country at this point. Dual citizen, I am, between Italy and the United States. Both of my teams are in soccer hell right now. I've been giving this a lot of thought. I think I'm going to root for Croatia. I've been giving this a lot of thought, and it's because they've got a couple Inter Milan players on their team. Ivan Perisic, Marcelo Brozovic. I think I'm going to root for them just because at least I've got guys from my club that I can root for. Like, I gave some consideration to Iceland because there's 210,000 people in that country. They're the ultimate underdog. People are telling me I should root for Morocco. I don't know. I don't have any ties to it. I do like the Moroccan Epcot Pavilion. They got some good food there, but I don't have any ties to Morocco. I do have some, and Croatia is right next door to Italy. You could throw a rock from Venice and hit Croatia, and they got a couple of Inter players. So I think, Tito, I'm going for Croatia.
That makes the most sense. I mean, if I was going to do it based off that, I'd probably have to root for Belgium because of De Bruyne with Belgium, and he's a Man City guy.
See, I understand that logic, but I personally can't root for Belgium because they knocked the USA out of the last World Cup. So, like, it's too fresh. Yeah, the wound is too fresh for me. Like, I can't root for them for that reason. So it's just not going to happen there. By the way, Jesse Lockhart, chronic listener, he seems upset by my ripped jeans take. Like, I agree with Saban. I've got a problem with ripped, tattered jeans. And I'll give you further explanation on that. But, you know, when I tweeted out that I agree with Saban on something for the first time in my life, Jesse tweets to me, please don't let it be on the ripped jeans. Then after he heard my hot take, he followed it up with, come on, at Alex Dono, torn ripped jeans have been a thing since we were little. It's beyond our understanding. No, let me make the distinction one more time. If your jeans are torn, ripped, and tattered because of actual wear and tear, that's a badge of honor. You've been wearing the same Levi's, the same Wranglers for 20 years, and they look worn in. They're vintage. All right, I'm down with that. Completely down with that. You've earned it. You've earned that badge of honor. What I have a problem with are the damn millennials. They go to the Hollister. Is Hollister still a store? Wow, see, all these stores are still on. You millennials, you go into Hollister, you go into Abercrombie, and you buy $120 tattered jeans that were made yesterday. That's what I take issue with. And I know Kevin Rogers is going to agree with me on that. K-Rog is going to be on our Panthers coverage here tonight. Before we introduce K-Rog to this worldwide audience, let me hear from Adam Gase, who addressed the media today. You know, something I noticed, because I heard this from Gase and from Matt Burke, the defensive coordinator, something that's very different from last year was Gase, and it was Vance Joseph, of course, was the D coordinator last year. They had no problem with calling out specific players. Mario Williams got to play better. Byron Maxwell got to play better. You notice a common thread there, two guys who are no longer on the team. You know, Gase has taken Jay Ajayi to task before, no longer on the team. They had no problem putting individuals on notice, on blast. It's not been like that this year. Like, I've noticed what seems like a concerted effort. It seems to me like they're going out of their way not to put the blame on any individual and just focusing on the group. So all of a sudden, when they could care less last year about protecting feelings, it's like they're going out of their way this year to protect guys' feelings. Here's Gase saying that, hey, our defensive problems are on the group. They're not on individuals.
We've talked about this before with when you play defense, it's a group deal. It's 11 guys. And really, at the end of the day, everybody has to be on the same page. Everybody needs to do their job, because it's hard to be successful on defense if guys are trying to cover for other guys or, you know, doing things that aren't meant to be done in that particular call. So, I mean, really, the quickest way to get things going in the right direction is just getting 11 guys doing their job and everybody trusting each other as far as what they're doing.
So he's saying it's a communication level issue from all three levels. It's the D linemen not talking to the linebackers not talking to the secondary not talking to the D linemen. Like, that seems to be the issue there. When, you know, it's weird that last year they had no issue whatsoever in calling out specific individuals. Maybe there's something to what he's saying. But you're seeing certain guys getting beaten badly in coverage, and you've got a defensive line that has only produced 16 sacks this year, 26 in the NFL. Very uncharacteristic from any group that has guys like Cam Wake and Ndamukong Suh and Andre Branch and, you know, Charles Harris, who I still believe is a promising rookie, to only have 16 sacks produced on the season. It's a little strange to me that you can't call out any individuals with that. Texter writes in, I have an issue with ripped jeans and hip musicians with their complicated shoes. Oh, don't get me started on shoes. I mean, you know that Channing Crowder always puts me through the ringer with my shoe selection. I shop for shoes at the discount rack. Like, there's no reason to me to buy brand new shoes that are marked up triple figures. Like, if you're trying to get me to pay $100 plus for a pair of shoes, are you kidding me? I go to, and I think maybe the reason why Sports Authority is no longer in business was they weren't charging enough for their shoes. I used to go to the discount rack at Sports Authority, $55.95 for a pair of like 2-year-old Nike running shoes, never worn. That was the deal back then. We'll talk with Kevin Rogers when we come back here on WQIM.
This podcast is presented by David Lowen Associates in Fort Lauderdale. If you've had a homeowner's insurance claim denied or underpaid, call 844-96-CLAIM.
This podcast was presented by David Lowe and Associates in Fort Lauderdale. If you've had a homeowner's insurance claim denied or underpaid, call 844-96-CLAIM.
See, I knew always the biggest challenge when somebody hops on an extra microphone is figuring out which microphone he's on.
Right. Hello, hello.
There he is.
Am I yelling too loud? I don't have my headphones on. Another faux pas. We're doing great this segment.
Very, very controversial, K-Raj, my agreeing with Nick Saban on something. I agree with this.
What did he say? You know what? I didn't listen to it. What did he say?
Well, can we? Well, here's the thing. I see you're not wearing headphones.
Hold on a second. Hold on, Tito. Ah. We're really prepared here. Hold on.
See, if he can pop those headphones in, we can play the soundbite for him.
Hold on.
Well, let me preface this by saying, for those who have not heard this yet, Nick, I don't understand why Nick Saban was trying to turn his weekly presser into a night at the Tuscaloosa Improv. I don't understand that. Like, he was trying to run material on the Alabama media. But here is Nick Saban riffing on tattered jeans.
I guess I just wanted to know how we got here. Not to offend anybody out there, but I just walked by some jeans, wore out jeans, holes in them, all cut up. I just remember when I was a kid in West Virginia, I was ashamed to go to school because my jeans were wore out, only because we didn't have any better. Now they buy them that way. I just can't figure out how we get here. I don't know.
Okay, a couple things. Now, number one, that is fake laughter from the media because they're trying to appease Nick Saban.
Because he's a dictator there in Alabama.
Number two, I don't know why he's talking about. I think this is what happens. You're number one in the college football rankings. You're bored.
Yeah.
And you have Mercer coming up. Coach, talk about Mercer. Ron?
No, I'd rather talk about jeans.
No. Mercer? No, thanks. I mean, he did grow up in West Virginia. Was he poor growing up? Or am I just making that up?
I don't know. That's the narrative, but I have no idea if he grew up poor or not. Like, obviously, he's got plenty of country in him. Like, he vacations in the backwoods of Georgia where they filmed Deliverance. So he's, you know, despite being a multimillionaire, he's a very simple man. But I don't know. Like, he may have been, like, upper middle class for all we know.
So the pants discussion, I heard you talking before the break about the shoes. All right, a couple things on this. When you go to a store, like, because I'm old school like you, I don't shop on Amazon. I go to the store.
Oh, same here.
Yeah, like, I like to see it.
I get so scared when I order something from Amazon, 80% of the time it doesn't fit.
Right.
And I don't know how to send it back. Like, it's ridiculous. I like to go to the store.
I mean, take the extra effort and go to the store. Try it off. If it doesn't fit, then you can put it back on the rack. So what I don't understand is you go, this is out of season, so it's on sale. What season do I care? If it fits me, it's fine. It's like the shoes. If the shoes are brand new, well, they're not this year's shoes.
Right.
I don't care. They're comfortable on me. I'm here to walk around. I'm not walking down a runway. It's fine. I go to Rack Room, by the way.
Oh, that's another good spot. And DSW, you ever hit up DSW?
Yes, I know DSW. And you know what? They sell Nike and Reebok and stuff like that.
Maybe the 2015 model, but I got no problem with that.
I mean, I know it's not like Champion. They sell Kmart, you know, but or Russell Athletic.
But
still, like, if they're comfortable, then why do I need to spend hundreds of dollars on a pair of sneakers? You're going to get messed up anyway.
It's the number one thing I look for. I put the shoe, like, they've got to look at least decent enough to my, I got no taste, but they've got to look decent to me. Then when I try them on, I need to be able to walk around the store comfortably. So that's number one. But maybe K-Raj, my take on the tattered jeans though was,
what is tattered jeans anyway? It's when
like the hipsters, they wear the ripped jeans.
Oh.
But here's the issue.
So
I
the
take.
Ripped jeans, I they're okay. It's a nice word. The
right,
ripped
it's,
jeans.
It's a nice word for ripped. But here's my thing though. If you've had like a pair of jeans you love, your lucky jeans, you've had them for 10, 15 years, they get naturally worn out over time. It's fine. It's a badge of honor. You've earned it. But it's the people who go to Abercrombie and buy the $140 brand new tattered jeans that somebody in the factory ripped on purpose and marked up the jeans. That's what I take issue with. It's not the natural tattering. It's the unnatural tattering.
I've never bought anything from Abercrombie and Fitch. I never bought anything from Hollister. Never once. And it feels like, I feel like somebody tweeted this a long time ago. It feels like the clothes never moved on from 2000, 2001.
Yes.
It's like the same clothes, and they're not being worn. Like, you know, and look, the girls that work there and all, like, yeah, I'm sure they're still good looking, and back then they were good looking, but it's like the same thing. They wear like the t-shirt and the jean skirt. Like that's what it was. And the guys would wear these ripped shirts. I had friends of mine in high school. Okay. And I went to high school in the mid to late 90s. Mm-hmm. So that wore Abercrombie. I'm like, all these shirts are like $50. And then there's like nothing on. Like, what are you buying? Why are you spending $50 on a t-shirt? But I'm cheap like that. So
am I, man. So am I. Florida Panthers in San Jose tonight.
Now, seamless segue that was.
Well, listen, this is what we do, Kevin. I don't have time to be delicate about these things. But I want to see if we can bring in Doug Plagans. Doug Plagans is with us, the voice of the Florida Panthers. First, Doug, do you own any tattered jeans? What's your take on that?
I have some that I think have gotten tattered over the years.
See, that's okay.
There are so many things that came up in the last 2 minutes of you guys exchanging banter that I wanted to comment on. And I'm just going to go right down the list. First of all, Alex Dono and Kevin Rogers on at the same time. This is a monumental moment in radio history. Second of all, I also go to Rack Room. I heard you talking about that. I like to go to the store and actually try things on. And I, too, have never owned anything from Abercrombie & Fitch.
The three of us were kindred spirits in a lot of ways. We all watch old TV shows. I know Doug is all over the Golden Girls. I'm going to give another clunky segue here. I know Kevin loves these. Tell me about the Panthers tonight, Doug. Coming off a big shootout victory, how can the Cats build on that momentum tonight starting out this California road trip?
Well, it was a big full team win the other night to get those 2 points, the one home game between two three-game road trips, and they'll need to bring in a lot of what worked the other night. Roberto Luongo was brilliant, and the Panthers' big guns were very good as well. So they'll need that top line to continue with its success here this evening. And as far as going up against a San Jose team, this is the cross-country trip. You have the long travel. You have the time difference. The Panthers playing 3 games in 4 days against these big, physical, fast, tough California teams. It all starts with the Sharks here tonight. Then the Kings Saturday, the Ducks on Monday, but they know the importance of coming out here, setting the tone early. Talked to Bob Bugner earlier today, and he also stressed, as he always says, the Panthers don't need to go for the home run on every shift. They don't need to try and be up 3-0 after the first period of play. Come in, have a good start, and this is a San Jose team that's good defensively, give up the fewest goals in the league. Brent Burns is always dangerous. They've got some guys who can beat you single-handed if you give them a freebie, so the Panthers need to make sure they play a sound game here tonight.
Doug, are you ready for our one chip challenge? I know we're going to do that very soon.
Yeah, that's coming up, and I'm very excited about it, and we're just going to have to make sure we have some milk and ice cream and some stuff like that on standby. I heard it can be a little bit spicy.
Yeah, we had I mentioned it earlier in the show, and a texter wrote in that they have tried the one chip challenge and it actually hurt to breathe for several minutes after that.
What I'm most worried about isn't necessarily the spicy taste. Like, I'm worried about touching it. Like, if I touch it and then inadvertently touch my eye or something, or, am I going to put myself in danger in some way? So I think I don't know if we're going to need to, wear gloves or, just eat it right out of the package, because they come individually wrapped.
Yeah.
First time I'll ever have an individually wrapped singular chip.
We have that to look forward to. And, of course, Panthers on this radio station here tonight. What's K-Rodge? Well, we're going to get enough K-Rodge coming up. K-Rodge and Doug are coming up with Panthers Preview. You're listening to Miami Sports Radio 560 WQAM.
This podcast is presented by David Lowe & Associates in Fort Lauderdale. If you've had a homeowner's insurance claim denied or underpaid, call 844-96-CLAIM. This podcast was presented by David Lowe & Associates in Fort Lauderdale. If you've had a homeowner's insurance claim denied or underpaid, call 844-96-CLAIM.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.